The first verse of the first chapter 11 of Hebrews says, now faith. The word faith is pistis. It means to trust. Trust, a firm persuasion. The trust in Jesus and the resulting conduct and attitudes of abiding in the truth of himself. I used some other study material that I had that's a lot older than it still deals with the companion, I mean with the Hebrew and Greek Strong's Dictionary, but I had some other stuff up there that I went in, and it has even deeper breakdowns because it deals with the language, the Italian language also, which gives us even more of a breakdown of what God's Word is saying. See, the problem with us as preachers and whoever we call ourselves is the fact that we don't want to research the Scripture in order to find out what God is actually saying. So therefore, we tell folks what we think they need to hear to get them through. But what we're finding out is that after they leave Sunday morning service, their world falls apart because they don't have anything solid or firm to stand on. It says, now faith, or is the substance. And when we talk about substance, we usually think it's talking about something that you can grab onto. But it doesn't mean that. It means essence. It's talking about essence and assurance. And when we talk about essence, we're always talking about the Spirit of the living God, the essence of God, or the attitude, or the graciousness, or the forgiveness, or these different things that God has provided for us. You know, it's all about him. You know, so when we're talking about essence, it's talking about God. And so the things hoped for. Well, there are a lot of things that we hope for.
Yeah.
We hope for a whole lot of things. Yeah. We hope not to be sick. We hope not to be in pain.
Yeah.
We hope to have enough money that we don't have to worry about next month's bills. We hope all these things. We hope in our relationships. And we hope in all these things. But the type of hope that we're talking about is hope that can't be seen.
That's right.
Because if you can see hope, the meaning, the Greek meaning for hope is expectation. Uh-huh. To expect something.
Right.
If you could actually have it or put your hands on it, why would you expect it?
All right.
It's a waste of time to expect things that you got your hands on already. And then it says, substance of things, and give you some of them. I got everything wrote down, so I'm just going to give it to you as slow as I can, but we're going to get out of here too. Amen. Amen. So it's the substance of the things. Of things. What are things? Things, we think about things that you can touch, that you can see, that you can feel, that you can sense. But these things aren't talking about that. These things are talking about works or deeds or attitudes or dispositions. Faith, that's what faith is. Faith is another word for the word faith is pistis, and it means to, it's a divinely implanted principle that's in our lives.
Okay.
Everybody, see, folks don't realize, everybody is born with a measure of faith.
Amen.
That's why when you go out and start your car in the morning, you expect it to start. If the rascal don't start, then you have a problem. Amen. Yeah. There's been time when my car didn't start, I went out and laid hands on that rascal.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen. Sometimes it started, sometimes it didn't. You know, but I found out that I couldn't blame God if it didn't start. And if it started, I just said, thank you, Lord.
That's right.
I don't know why it started. It just started. So that's expectation. I expect things. I expect people to live right. I expect people to have everything that they have need of in their lives, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. That's the expectation that I have for this ministry, that we don't want or need, but we always have.
Uh-huh.
You know, that we can think about a thing, and before we can get through thinking about it, the need's been supplied,
mm-hmm.
or the need's been met. You know, the Word of God says, God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory, what that's talking about. He shall supply everything that we have need of from the riches that are in him.
Amen.
understand that. And it says, substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Or when it's talking about evidence, it's talking about proof or conviction of things not. The word not means that it doesn't depend on how you feel or what you think or what you see concerning faith.
Right.
Because faith is faith. And the one thing about it is, I use the example that faith, the measure of faith that God has allowed every man to be born with, or every woman or child, just think about it. Just like every baby, before that baby is born, the moment that baby is conceived, is born into sin. But there's another thing. Before that baby is conceived, that baby also has a measure of faith.
Right.
See, God has put in built-in mechanisms to protect us.
Yes.
Right.
That's why we can have expectation. And evidence of proof of things not seen, or things that you can't lay your hands on. That means sometimes you just have to believe God for it.
Amen.
You know, you just have to just stick your head up in the clouds and believe that whatever it is that you have need of, that God's going to provide and meet the need for you.
Right.
It's not easy, because you still have to deal with people that don't believe or understand the way you understand or the way you believe. But you have to do it anyway. That's what it's called, by fighting the good fight of faith. By standing on the principles of God that God has given us, so that we'll have clear-cut understanding. A lot of things we can't see. We can't see it because it's not based on our feelings.
That's right.
We can't touch it because it's not based on our expression of touch. We just have to believe God. 9 years ago, we believed God that this ministry was keep going, when I was told that it wouldn't.
Amen.
I was told we wouldn't last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
We're still here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God.
And, you know, we're not as big as a lot of churches, but you know what we are? We're secure in who we are in God.
Yes.
I think that matters more, that you're secure in who you are than having a big crowd.
Amen.
You know, so some things we just have to get used to. And so things not seen, things that you can't touch. It's a lot of things I like to be able to put my hands on. I like to be able to go out there and get in Therese's car and just take off and do about 120 miles an hour. But it ain't like it's about to happen no time soon. How many understand what I'm saying? I'm just paraphrasing. And some things we want, we just are not going to catch.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes your expectation overrides your principles and your ideas of things. And then a lot of things, your expectation causes you to want things that you wish you had never got.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen.
If I had the guy hit the floor, I'd try to raise my feet too. So, expectation, that's how important it is. So, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. When it talks about by, it's talking about motion from beneath or motion from the interior. For by it, from the motion from the interior, the elders, or when it talks about the elders, it's talking about those, mostly those that have gone on to be with God already, who have left here, who have done the work of God.
Amen.
When it talks about people like Moses and Joshua and Joseph and all these people and Hezekiah, you know, these people that have done a good work for God, and fought the good fight. These are the fathers that have showed us the way. And the good thing about it is, in most cases, they have left us dialogue on how they did it.
Amen.
But you know what the better thing is? They left us dialogue on how they failed and how they got back up through faith.
Come on now.
To continue on the journey.
Yeah.
You think Moses didn't feel bad when God told him to talk to the brick and he smoked the brick?
The
rock. That's like, you know, the rock represents Jesus. What you going to do? You going to hit Jesus and not talk to him? Let me get out of that little chapter right there. For it by it the elders obtained, or their testimony, they obtained a good report. Well, their testimony, they testified, they became witnesses. For instance, when Jesus rose after the resurrection, what happened? You saw different elders walking down the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem, folks that were supposed to be dead years long, thousands of years ago, walking down the streets, and they could be touched. Mm-hmm. They weren't ghosts. God was showing us that they were testifying, they were witnesses of all that we expect from God.
Mm-hmm.
So they received a great testimony. So through faith, we understand. When it talks about through, it's talking about your exercising your mind or your understanding of what the Word of God is trying to tell us. It's by faith. It's through the faith that you have faith and confidence that certain things in your life are going to take place.
Yeah.
And then you have faith in your life that there are certain things that are not going to take place.
Right.
We pray that we don't have to deal with certain people.
Amen.
Well, you don't have to raise your hand. That's
amen.
All right. But we leave out the door anymore, Lord. I sure hope such and such ain't where they work today.
Right.
But, you know, we understand through faith or through our invested faith, through our Christ in us, our invisible God that's living in us, we understand. We understand from the simple fact, understanding means that you don't have to be able to see it in order to know that it's true.
Uh-huh.
Understanding deals with your knowledge and your understanding and wisdom of the Scripture. See, that's where a lot of folks fall short, because they don't know the Scripture.
Uh-oh.
And they're not trying to find out what the Scripture is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of us fall short. But through faith, we understand that the worlds. I remember, man, I used to teach about the different worlds and all that. And then God set me straight. And I had to apologize because I found out he wasn't talking about worlds. He was talking about ages.
Mm-hmm.
How many understand? Mm-hmm. When you're talking about the world, you're talking about all the planets.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto is not a world. As the scientists have said, it is a planet.
Mm-hmm.
All things were made by him, for him, and do consist through him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we understand. Why do you think they kept sending ships up to the moon? They were looking to see somebody.
Yeah.
Right. But all they found was a bunch of rocks. That they still, from what I understand, doing research, haven't figured out what's in them. Man does things because that's what man does. Man, God gave man his own free will and volition. Man is brilliant in who he is. But a lot of times, his brilliance lacks faith and it creates problems.
Amen.
Amen.
I spend a lot of time talking to different people, even doctors, concerning different doctors that complain about, if God was such a loving God, why is it that we got hurricanes and we got floods and we got tornadoes and we got all this other stuff? I say, well, if you think about it, if you use a little moral sense, you'll find out that most of all these things were created by what man has done to the atmosphere.
Amen.
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 Not God's fault.
That's right.
No.
And if he gave you your own free will and volition, why wouldn't he let you deal with what you created?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to keep this simple tonight.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can to keep this simple. Faith, we understand that the worlds, or perpetually, when it talks about ages, it's talking about perpetuality, the forward also into the past. It's talking about the beginning age, the prior age, and the present age. It's talking about from Genesis to Revelation. Why? Because we know that the Bible tells us that Jesus is Alpha and Omega,
yeah,
the beginning and the end. That deals with Genesis all the way to Revelation. That means that every other book is covered by him.
Yeah, right.
Man.
We only want to see Jesus in certain books. We want to see him in the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
And we fail to realize that if it wasn't for him, there would not be any epistles.
Right.
And he was all through the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 God made sure of that. That's why he had Moses build the tabernacle of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to think about Joshua. When Joshua crossed over to the Jordan, mm-hmm. what went first? The ark. The word of God had to go first.
Amen.
Showing us that it's the word of God that leads us and gives us the power and the strength that we have to need us in order to believe and expect what we would normally wouldn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
It was through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. They were framed or they were created or made manifest by the word of God. And we know that in John it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So it lets us know right there that it was the word. And when it talks about word here, it's talking about rhema. Rhema deals with something that is real, something that is supernatural, something that has the ability to manifest or to create. And that's what this was. That's what this rhema word was. You know what the rhema word was? Let us make man in our image.
Right.
And in our likeness.
Yeah,
that was a rhema word. That was a spoken word that had power and authority and dominion in it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You know why you can't please God without faith? Because God is a God of faith.
Man. Come on now.
Lord. So framed by the word of God, and then that takes us back into Pastor Key's favorite book, Colossians.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that all these things were created by him, for him, and through him, and according to him. So nothing that was created was not created for him. Nothing that was not created by him.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, for instance, if you do some close study of Genesis, you'll find out that it says that Jesus came down and became everything that he created.
Yeah. Right.
Now that gets kind of deep. But that's why you got Colossians to back it up. You know, because a lot of folks say, well, he couldn't have done that. Well, why Colossians say it? So our faith in us, I like calling the faith that the measure of faith that we have in us, it's like a home and beacon. It's something that God said a certain time or a certain phase in your life or a certain season in your life, God uses to direct you back to him.
Come on now.
Because we belong to him anyway.
Amen.
You know, we can't decide who God don't love.
Amen.
You know, we decide that God don't love homosexuals. God don't love lesbians. God loves everybody.
Amen.
It's what you do with your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
That causes something great or magnificent to have to happen in your life.
Amen.
And so, see, everything was made or framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, when we look at the word appear, it means that we normally feel like it's something that shines out or something that you can touch or reach out and grab. But when it talks about things that appear, with things which do appear, it says, which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And if you look at the word has a very special meaning. It's not talking about something in the past, it's talking about something in the present.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about the present. The things that were, and then which do appear. We assume with our mentality and our physical understanding and knowledge that everything that we touch, we made. not realizing that the knowledge that we have in us came from someone other than yourself.
That's right.
You say, well, my mother and my father were Greek. That's where I got mine from. Where you think they got theirs from?
Right.
Amen. Just like life is handed, just like from Genesis to Revelation, God has handed things down to different families. Some folks are born with spiritual talents. Some folks are born with physical talents. But they're still talents all in the same.
Right.
Amen.
But the thing about it is, they believe in what they can do. Amen.
Right.
And they believe that they are the best at what they do.
Amen.
Because if you don't believe that you are the best at what you do, then you're not the best.
Right.
It doesn't
Amen.
Matter what anybody else thinks of what they say. You have to believe it first. That's now faith right now.
Amen.
I believe it right now.
Amen.
I don't need you to convince me later.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it right now. I know that the world's afraid by the things of God. And then it goes on to say, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, I saw something that I've read this a lot of times, something I have not seen. The word Abel means emptiness. Now, listen closely. The word Abel means emptiness and vanity. He was empty and he was vain. The word Cain just means the son of Adam. That's it. Just the son of Adam. But for some strange reason, Abel, who was empty and vain, gave the more excellent sacrifice. Work on that one for a little while. That's what it says. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. But see, you notice it says what? By faith. It was through that measure of faith that was in his life that gave him the ability to recognize if he gave God the best portion that he could, that would count unto him for something.
Amen. Yeah.
Whereas Cain did not care. And see, folks don't realize Cain had all the authority of all the ground, but he only gave God the chief stuff.
Right. Right.
He didn't give God the vastness of everything that he had grew. So God rejected it.
Uh-huh.
Here it is, Cain. Your brother is vain, because he probably was a gorgeous young man. He was vain in his heart and his spirit, but yet he found a way to give God the more perfect, the greatest sacrifice. Ain't that something? I mean, he gave God the best of what he had. And more excellent than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Righteous, God testifying of his gifts. What did he become? He became a testimony. And then God began to testify for him. You know why God testified for him? That's why the word of God says, and God recognized that Abel gave him a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. You know what's going on in the church today? Some people are giving God a more excellent sacrifice. It ain't just talking about your finances either. Right. It's talking about your life. Right. It's talking about your attitude. It's talking about your disposition. It's talking about your mindset.
Amen.
The way you treat people, the way you are around people, has everything to do with it. And we don't think so. We think it always has to do with money. Mm-hmm. We would like for it to, but it's not. I want God to testify like he testified about Job.
All right.
Now, I don't want to have to go through what Job went through. Right. Don't get it twisted.
Amen.
But God testified about Job. Satan running everywhere. And God said, have you ever considered my servant Job? I wish I'd have been Job and helped Job and heard God say that. I've been there. Hey, look here, Lord. You don't have to volunteer me. Check out somebody else. Check out one of my sons, which died anyway. You said I couldn't touch him. Of course you can't touch him, because it's faith. But see, folks don't realize, I heard a preacher the other night on YouTube, and he was talking about how the devil destroyed everything that Job had, but it wasn't God did it.
Right.
God said, you can't touch him. But what is it you want me to do to him?
Yep.
Everything that happened to Job, God did it. Why? Because God was testifying of the faith that Job had in his life.
Amen.
That it wasn't just an idea, but it was a living principle.
Amen.
Job, they didn't have no Holy Ghost or no Spirit in them.
Yeah.
But what they did have, they had that measure of faith, and they could allow it to grow to a higher level than ever before. That's why Paul wrote the thing, we grow from faith to faith, and from grace to grace and mercy to mercy. We grow.
Amen.
How do we grow? We grow through the faith that's in us, and we recognize and understand that what God did yesterday, he can do more of today.
Yes.
And what he does today, he can do more of tomorrow. But that means you can't stay today where you were yesterday, and you can't stay tomorrow where you were today. You've got to keep growing.
Amen.
And maturing in the things of God. Now faith. That's what faith is talking about. That's why God testified of his gifts. And it wasn't, notice it says gifts. It's plural. It didn't mean that he just gave this, you know, the stuff of the meat and everything, but it means he gave them himself. You know how hard it is giving yourself when you think you everything? When you think that you all that and a bag of Lay's chips, too. Lay's chips are good, I'm sorry. Don't get me Lay's, or wherever you are. Anyway, God was testifying. By it, he being dead, yet what?
Speaking.
How is he speaking? Through us today.
Come on now.
Through us today. We testify about him all the time. Somebody is always preaching about Abel. And they have to put Cain in, or they can't describe how good Abel was, but Abel wasn't good. The Hebrew says he was what?
Vain.
He was vain. I know a few people like that. But, you know, so we have to keep moving. And being dead, yet speaking. Somebody else that's still spoken, and they were dead. Joseph. When Joseph died in Egypt, he said, look here. Don't leave my dead body here in Egypt. Because Egypt is going to be dead. I want to go where I can live. So they carried his body across the Red Sea. They carried his body for 40 years in the wilderness. They carried his body across the Jordan. And when they finally buried him, guess where they buried him at? At the same place that Abraham was buried. That's why Abraham and a couple others were all buried there. And when Jesus rose, you saw them walking through the streets. I think Joseph had a little bit more faith than folks thought he had. I think Joseph saw something through the faith that let him know, don't leave me here in this dead world. Take me to where life is. And so, and it just so happened, where they were buried at was in where?
Jerusalem.
Amen.
So
by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Jump down to verse 6. You'll skip 5. It says, but without faith. We all see that, right? But without. Meaning that whatever it is you have in you that radiates faith, if you don't use it, it's not helping you a bit. And it's impossible for you to even please God. You want to hear something hilarious? You can be the worst joker in the world and have faith in God and please God. That's why God said he looks out for fools and infidels. Because somewhere or another they allow that measure of faith to operate in their lives. Don't be looking at me like that. I told you, I don't know what category I fall in or I fell in. Amen. But I was in there. Amen. So look at it again. But without, somebody say, without.
Without
faith. Without that living, breathing principle in your life. What is he saying? You cannot please God if he can look in your life and can't see his character and his nature.
Come on now. Come on now.
That simple.
Amen.
It's just that simple.
Amen.
The Bible says that when Jesus comes back, he's searching the intents of a man's heart.
Yeah.
So it don't matter how good you look on the outside if you stink on the inside.
Amen. Amen.
So that means your measure of faith has got to grow. It can't stay where it's at. It's got to grow. It's impossible. But without faith, impossible. And see, the word that's in front of impossible isn't really there. is actually non-existent. Mm-hmm. It's not in the original writings. It reads, but without faith, impossible to please him. It wants you to understand that flat out, it's impossible.
Right.
It leaves you without escape, though, or escape route. Impossible. It means unable to please or to gratify God. Amen. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe, or same word as faith, understand, or trust that he is. Now listen, it gets a little tricky. That he is, and he is. That word that said, that other word that's there after the word and is also not existent. See, words change the meaning of the scripture. Uh-huh. But without faith, impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is. First, you got to believe he is by coming to him. And then you have to believe he is by living for him.
Amen.
Or at least doing the best that you can. Making some changes in your life.
Come on now.
I'm constantly making changes in my life.
Amen.
Because I give up trying to please man because you can't please him.
Amen.
He's happy with you on Monday and he's sick of you on Tuesday.
Amen.
What you going to do?
Amen.
So you try to do what? You please God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because he is a rewarder. That means he pays back. He gives payment. He gives payment to them that do what? Diligently seek him. That diligent is a very difficult word. Because it tells you that you don't have a right to give up. No matter what storm is in your life.
Yeah.
No matter what trial or trouble you're in, what sickness you're dealing with, what financial problem, God is saying you don't have a choice mm-hmm. on not doing what you do for God.
Right.
You have to be diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
And when it talks about diligently, that means that you got to talk to him more than just on Sundays.
Amen.
I have talked to God every day because I'm in something every day. I need help every day.
Amen.
This thing got so bad, I need God getting through our bedroom. I bang my feet, my knees, and everything. I'm going, ouch. When the Lord says, why don't you just use the big flashlight you got sitting on the side of the bed? I don't want to turn the light on because I don't want to wake First Lady up. Just use the big flashlight. You don't have to run into stuff. You don't have to have bruises that's unnecessary. We have bruises in our lives that are not necessary because we're not using the right light.
That's good.
And our light is what? The Word of God. It's a little warm in here. They haven't gotten that thing. They're waiting on parts to come in. So it's either two things. Either we let it get super hot or we let it get super cold. I prefer being super hot than to being super cold. So we just worried. I had my brother, he turned it off a little while ago because I had passed beyond super hot. And Sister Debbie was about to break her wrist over there using that thing to fan herself. So we had to help each other out. But now faith, we know we all have now faith.
Yes.
We don't have to go, we think we have to go search for it, you know. We don't have to search for it. My doctor goes to, I was telling you a story, he goes, he visits every church looking for God. He goes to the Buddhist church, he goes to the Catholic church, he goes, you name it, he's been there. And guess what? He still hasn't found. He still hasn't found God. I said, Doc, I hate to break this to you, but you'll never find God until you find the faith in your life.
That's right.
All you gotta do is look in the mirror and have faith in God. You gotta have some kind of faith.
That's right.
He said, why would you say that? I said, you operate on people all the time. You believe they gonna live, don't you? Well, yeah. I said, well, I think that's faith. I don't think it had a whole lot to do with your analogy of how intelligent and brilliant you are. Some of the most brilliant doctors in the world have lost patients on the tables.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Because they miss something.
Amen.
Or they leave some of their utensils in your body somewhere. And then they charge you over $80,000 for the surgery. And you run around one of their biceps or whatever in your chest, in your lung. And you're trying to figure out why you're still dying. After they'd have told you this operation was a complete success.